Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
Alhamdulillah, أضعف ما حمده جميع خلقه كما يحبه ويرضاه. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم اجعلنا دعاة إليك وإلى رسولك. اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا القرآن الحكيم. ربنا زدنا علما. ربي أعطي أنفسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. أما بعد، the leveling of praise and criticism after continuous self-struggle, mujahada with oneself, a sahibun nisba becomes successful in rectifying himself and erasing his ego. They develop humility to the extent that praise and criticism bear equal value in their eyes. If someone praises them, then they do not become excited and think it to be the result of Allah's concealment of their errors. And that's why they are being praised. Alhamdulillah, Allah's concealed my errors. And if someone criticizes them, they only perceive themselves to be worthy of such criticism. There's humility in them. Thus every deed of theirs becomes solely for the pleasure of Allah, because neither are their actions based on the need for praise, and neither do they care about mockery. This is the ultimate level of intentional purity. Let's look at an example of this. Hazrat Mufti Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, Rahmatullah Alayhi and the Nisba, from amongst the pious predecessors of Deoband, Mufti Rashid Ahmad Gangohi enjoys a unique repute in terms of fiqh. He was a great Mufti, Fatawa-e Rashidiyah. After completing his studies, he thought of going to Tana Bawan to visit Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Alayh. Just as students have a habit of visiting pious saints in their free time, after meeting him, Hazrat Gangohi Alayhi Rahma requested permission to leave, but Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh said, "Mia Rashid Ahmad, why not spend a few days in our company?" After some thinking, Hazrat Gangohi Alayhi Rahma agreed. Thus, Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Alayhi Rahma ordered his servant to have Hazrat Gangohi's bed placed close to his, for it would suffice his spiritual treatment. Hazrat Gangohi Alayhi Rahma went to sleep and woke up at the time of the pre-dawn prayer. At the time of tahajjud, he got up. Hazrat Gangohi himself says that when he opened his eyes, he saw some people praying, some engaging litany, zikr, azkar, some weeping in sijda, some crying in their dua. There was a strange feeling across the entire sanctuary, across the entire khanqa. His internal desire was to go back to sleep, and sleep comes best at the time of tahajjud. But his heart would tell him, "Rashid Ahmad, you wish to be counted amongst the inheritors of the prophets?" And their trait was كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون وبالأسحار هم يستغفرون. They would sleep little during the night, and during the last portion of the night they would repent and ask Allah for forgiveness. Suddenly he started to remember all the ahadith and the Quranic verses till he simply woke up, and all that knowledge of tahajjud started to come to him, what he had studied. After waking up, he made wudu and offered a few cycles of prayer, and then engaged in litany and zikr, just like everyone else. After fajr, he went to Hazrat Haji Sahib, Rahmatul Alayh, to ask for permission to leave. And Hazrat Haji Sahib, Rahmatul Alayh, asked, Mia Rashid Ahmad, if you really wish to engage in the remembrance of Allah, zikrullah, why not learn how to do it? Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatul Alayh replied, Hazrat, please teach me how to. And thus he gave the pledge to him and he took the bayah with him. Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatul Alayh states that after the bayah, his world changed completely. He decided to stay there for a chilla, 40 days. And Hazrat Haji Sahib agreed, Rahmatullah Alayh. He had already completed the series of self-struggle, Mujahada. And Hazrat Haji Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, simply had to provide the spark. Within a month, the flame of divine love had engulfed his heart. When Hazrat Haji Sahib, Rahmatul Alayh, saw his state, he decided to test him. And the sheikhs, they test their disciples. The pious mashayikh test their disciples to see if the effects of zikr have penetrated the heart and soul or not. So once Hazrat Maulana Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi, Rahmatul Alayh, great alim, came to visit Hazrat Haji Sahib, Rahmatul Alayh, and they both had to attend a dinner. Haji Sahib took Hazrat Gangohi, Rahmatul Alayh, along with him. Now remember Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, he was a contemporary of Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi. Maulana Rashid Ahmad, a great jurist, a great faqih, really learned alim. So he took Hazrat Gangohi along with him. But Hazrat Gangohi has now taken the pledge and the bayat with Haji Sahib. So once at the dinner, the table, the dastarkhan, had been laden with exotic dishes. But Haji Sahib Rahmatul Alayh took some plain lentil soup and a piece of bread. And gave it to Hazrat Gangohi and told him to sit in one corner and start eating. Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatul Alayh started eating from the exotic delicacies himself. If today's disciple were to undergo such treatment, he would simply disconnect the pledge, citing his sheikh to be unjust. But Hazrat Gangohi understood that the work of a wise person is not empty of wisdom. Thus he simply obeyed, sitting in a corner with this lentil soup and piece of bread. After eating for some time, Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatul Alayh addressed Hazrat Gangohi Alayh Rahma as if angry and said, Mia Rashid Ahmad, I felt like making you sit even further, but I have been generous by making you sit on the corner of the dastakhan. Addressed him that way. Now, if a renowned scholar and alim were to hear such words with the treatment he had received, he would have literally blown up with anger. Hazrat Haji Sahib noted the expressions on his face to see if he becomes angry, but the ego had been erased and humility had engulfed. Hazrat Gangohi's world, Rahmatullah Alayhi, and thus he said with a happy face, Hazrat, you speak the truth. For I was not worthy of even sitting in your shoes. And yet you made me sit on the dastakhan. After this, Hazrat Haji Sahib said, Alhamdulillah, the effects of zikr are now manifesting. After returning from the dinner, Hazrat Haji Sahib alayhi rahma blessed Hazrat Gangohi rahmatul alayhi with authorization in the spiritual science of tasawwuf. In other words, he made him a khalifa, which deeply perplexed him. He said, Hazrat, I do not see anything worthy within myself. To which Hazrat Haji Sahib said, Rashid Ahmad, the reason I have made you my khalifa is because you do not see anything within yourself. If you did, you would have never been bestowed with this treasure. Later on, Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi returned to his home in Gangoh. 2 years later, Hazrat Haji Sahib visited the town of Gangoh. When the two met again, Hazrat Haji Sahib Alayhi Rahma asked his Khalifa a question that is worthy of being inscribed in gold. He asked, Mia Rashid Ahmad, tell me something. Before the pledge, the bay'ah, and after the bay'ah, what changes do you see within yourself? Hazrat Gangohi alayhi rahma pondered and then said, Hazrat, I see 3 changes within myself. Before the bay'ah, I would have to consult many references and books before finding the answer to a question. After the bay'ah, the questions are solved without any help. Allah Ta'ala simply puts the answers in my heart. Secondly, now I do not have to prepare myself beforehand to act on the commands of the Sharia. It has become a natural habit for me to act on the Sharia. The third change that I see is that now I do not care about any mockery. Whether people praise me or whether they blame me, it doesn't make a difference. Wherever I need to make a religious statement, I do it without hesitation and I don't care for praise nor for blame. After this, Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi said, Alhamdulillah, Rashid Ahmad, there are 3 levels of religion, deen. The first is ilm, knowledge. If a person does not develop any discrepancy within understanding the elements of the Sharia, nothing seems to be contradicting, and he has answers, wow, then his knowledge is kamil, his knowledge is complete. The second degree of religion is actions, amal. If the aversions of the Sharia become the aversions of the self, then a man's attribute of actions is considered complete, that his nature becomes Sharia. The third level of religion is intentional purity, purity of intention. The achievement of this is indicated by a person's lack of care for anyone's mockery and the leveling of praise and criticism in his eyes. That's the highest level of intentional purity. Glad tidings be to you. Allah has blessed you with the achievement of ilm, knowledge, actions, and intentional purity. We now come to the categories of nisba. Shah Abdul Aziz Ad-Dihlawi Rahmatullah Alayhi defines 4 types of the nisba in his Tafsir Azizi. One, first type of nisbah is nisbah al in'ikasi, in'ikasi. Two, nisbah al ilqa'i. Three, nisbah al islahi. And four, nisbah al ittihadi. Let's take the first one, nisbah al in'ikasi. It comes from the verb in'akasa, yan'akisu in'ikas. The word in'ikas means reflection, reflection. This is the first type of nisbah and connection, nisbah, and the weakest type too. When a seeker of this path starts to engage in the remembrance of Allah and litany and zikr, his heart becomes purified to a certain extent, and a kind of mirror, his heart becomes like a kind of mirror. Thus, when he attends the company of his sheikh, the state of his mentor's heart starts to reflect on his heart. But this feeling remains only till he stays in the company. The love of this world appears to be less, while the love of Allah appears to overcome it, and the inclination towards sin turns into an inclination towards piety and virtue. However, this is all reflective. A little distance from his sheikh and his spiritual condition deteriorates. This is why some students of this path often say that when they attend the annual congregation in Jhang, their spiritual condition is strangely different. But when they return home, everything seems to subside. The reason for this is the fact that the nisbah from the sheikh's heart is reflected on the seeker's heart, and thus the spiritual feelings come to be. The parable of this nisbah is a person sitting close to a fire. As long as he is close, he will feel the warmth. But the farther he gets, the lesser the warmth becomes. Similarly, the person who sits close to someone wearing perfume, he smells the fragrance. But the farther the person becomes, the lesser the fragrance. The nisbah in Ikasi is a temporary nisbah that reflects on the heart, just as the reflection of an object within the mirror. One should eradicate this temporariness by preserving the reflection forever, just as chemical preserves the impression in a photograph and keeps it there. Second type of nisbah, nisbah ilqa'i. The word ilqa refers to infusion. This nisbah is the fruit of a seeker spending enough time in the company of his sheikh till some effects from his heart become engraved in the student's heart. This nisbah is stronger than the first one, and the effects remain. Even if the person leaves the company of his mentor, the effects still remain. The similarity of this nisbah is that of an oil lamp. If a person lights his oil lamp sitting close to a fire, then he can take that oil lamp anywhere to serve him against darkness. However, this oil lamp is not the strongest, and thus he needs to protect it against the wind, keep the oil intact, etc. Otherwise, the flame can extinguish at any moment. So we did two types of nisbah so far. Nisbah in ikasi and nisbah ilqa'i. Third type of nisbah, nisbah al-islahi. The word islam means rectification. This nisbah is attained after spending a substantial amount of time in the company of the sheikh. For the attainment of this nisbah, the student hands over himself to his sheikh as if a corpse. The teacher may make him engage in any type of self-struggle. He may even scold him, etc. This person passes through the furnace of love till he becomes a flame himself, and then he attains the nisbah-e-islahi. The likeness of this nisbah is to a stream crafted from a river. If this stream enters a garden, it will always be watered adequately. If this stream enters a garden, it will always be watered adequately. The water will constantly remain in a fresh and continuous flow, and it will cleanse any impurities along its path. However, if a large boulder were to block its path, then the stream would cease to flow. This nisbah is endorsed by Allah as special. Such people are protected from sins, and the blessings of this light result in them not insisting on minor sins, since they develop into the major ones. And these major sins are like huge boulders that can cease the flow of the nisbah in someone. If such people err unconsciously, then they repent immediately, and the radiance of their nisbah washes away the effects of the mistake. There are numerous examples from the lives of our pious predecessors where people have spent substantial time in the company of the mashayikh, being engaged in self-struggle and earning nisbah-e-islahi. Let's look at an example. Hazrat Shah Abu Sa'id, Rahmatullah Alayhi, and the attainment of nisbah. Hazrat Khwaja Abdul Quddus Gangohi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, was from amongst the famous personalities of the Chishtiya order. Hazrat Khwaja Abdul Quddus Gangohi. He had a grandson by the name of Shah Abu Sa'id, Rahmatullah Alayhi. Shah Abu Sa'id, Rahmatullah Alayhi. When he grew up, his grandmother was still alive. She insisted him to go to one of Hazrat Gangohi's deputies, Rahmatullah Alayhi, and attain the nisbah that they had acquired from his grandfather. He agreed, and thus she sent him off to one of Hazrat's deputies and caliphs. When the designee heard that his sheikh's grandson was arriving, he took his followers to the external region of the town to greet him. He took him home and treated him like a king. He would serve him extraordinary foods and make him sit on his seat while he would himself sit where the servants would. 3 days later, when Shah Abu Sa'id, Rahmatullah Alayh, requested permission to leave, the deputy, the Khalifa, presented him with gifts and cash. Shah Abu Sa'id, Alayh Rahma, said, "I do not want these. I wish for the wealth that you acquired from my grandfather, that is Hazrat Khwaja Abdul Quddus Gangohi, Alayh Rahma." Hazrat replied, "For that you need to strive first." The young man said that he was ready, and thus Hazrat said, "Go to the hunting dog pond. Go to the hunting dog pound and tend to their needs." Thus he was subjected to self-struggle. He was made to shower the dogs, feed them, and make them ready to go hunting. He would remain engaged in this work, and when he would go to attend the sheikh's company, he would be made to sit in one corner as if a worthless servant. After three, four months, the sheikh ordered the maid of the sanctuary of the Khanqa to pass by Shah Sahib, Shah Abu Sa'id, Rahmatullah, pass by him after collecting all the waste and the feces and all these stuff. Once she did, some of it fell on him and it infuriated him. He said, "We are not in Gongo, or else I would have fixed you." She narrated this incident to his sheikh, and he said, "The odor of lineage has not worn off," implying that the pride of being from such a respected family had still not left his heart. 2 months later, Hazrat ordered the maid to repeat the drill. This time, however, Shah Abu Sa'id Rahmatullah Alayhi simply looked at her with angry eyes, but did not say anything. She related the incident to his sheikh again, to which he said, "Some of the odor remains." Couple of months later, he again instructed her to repeat the action, but this time simply to drop the waste on him. Thus, she did as she was told, but by this time the ego of Shah Abu Sa'id Rahmatullah Alayhi had been erased. He worriedly said, "Oh my, I made her trip. She must be hurt." And then he started cleaning up the mess himself. When this incident was narrated to his sheikh, Rahmatullah Alayhi, he said, "Now our work is complete." Hazrat sent a message through a servant to be ready for the next day's hunting. During those times, the game was caught by hunting dogs. Game that is hunted by tame dogs is considered halal in the Sharia. The Quran details this. The next day he set out for hunting with everyone else. By now he had lost excessive weight due to excessive endeavors, while the dogs were healthy and strong. Thus he fastened the chains around his waist to keep them from running away. Soon enough the dogs saw the prey and darted for it. Because of his weakness, the chains simply pulled him along, and thus he went scraping against the ground, being wounded as it occurred. However, he never let go of the chains, for his sheikh had handed those to him. The other staff ran to his rescue and finally set him free from the ropes. He stood up, bloody, but worried that he had not performed his duties up to mark, and that might sadden his sheikh. That night, the sheikh saw Hazrat Abdul Quddus, Khwaja Abdul Quddus Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi in his dream. And Hazrat stated, "We never had you strive as much as you are making my children strive." In the morning, he called Hazrat Shah Abu Sa'id Rahmatullah Alayhi and held him close to his chest, transferring the nisbah of the Chishti order from his heart to his disciple's heart. He said, "I brought the Chishti nisbah from Hindustan to this land, but now you are taking it back to Hindustan." Thus he sent him back with the nisbah, testing the disciple. Allah Ta'ala has bestowed the mashayikh a special divine insight. Time to time they test their disciples, and the students remain aware of the fact that they are being tested. The mashayikh want to see if the serpent of the ego has died, if arrogance has been transformed into humility or not. When they have assurance that the disciple is clear of all egoistic problems, then they transfer the nisbah into such clean hearts, and this nisbah is the most perfect one. The fourth type of nisbah, nisbah ittihadi. The word ittihad means unity. This nisbah is attained when the associate reaches such a level of similarity with the associated that the simulation becomes as if original. This is the most perfect of all the nisbahs and is the result of one's love for their sheikh. This love reaches the point that his heart cries out, "I became you. You became me. I became the body. You became the soul." So no one would ever say, "I was one and you were another." This state of love causes him to follow his sheikh in every aspect and serve him incessantly. Seeing this, Allah Ta'ala's mercy turns towards him and a powerful nisba is transmitted into his heart. The spiritual abilities of his sheikh are transferred into him, and when people see him, they are reminded of his sheikh due to the similarities. His walk, talk, eating, sleeping, everything bears similarity to that of his mentor. This is called nisba-e-ittihadi. Following are some examples of nisba-e-ittihadi. The cook and the transfer of nisba. Hazrat Khwaja Baqi Billah Rahmatul Alayhi's sanctuary was in Delhi, and he had a cook there. Some people would come at unusual times to visit, and the cook would still present something to eat. This habit would make Hazrat immensely happy. Once a few important guests came to visit, the cook realized that the weather was harsh, but some important people had still arrived. Thus, he prepared something to eat and brought it before Hazrat Baqi Billah. Khwaja Baqi Billah alayhi rahmat. He said, "What is this?" To which the cook said, "I have brought food for Hazrat's guests and hope that it will be accepted." When Khwaja Sahib heard this, he became delighted and said, Ask what you wish for." The cook replied, "Make me like yourself. I want to become like you." Hazrat Rahmatullah alayhi thought a bit and then said, "Ask for something else." No, ask for something else. But the cook kept on insisting. Because the words had been uttered from his blessed tongue, that Hazrat said, "Ask for whatever you want," Hazrat Rahmatullah alayhi took the cook into his room and locked the door. Who knows what sort of spiritual abilities were infused into the cook. But when they came out an hour later, Hazrat Rahmatullah alayhi was looking normal, while the cook was in a state of semi-consciousness, and he passed away some moments later. Amazingly, no one could tell the difference between the two. His death, the death of the cook, was prescribed at the time that Allah had willed it. There was no turning away from it. But his good fortune manifests from the fact that he lived his entire life as a cook, and the last moment he entered Alam-e-Akhirah, the afterlife, as Khwaja Baqi Billah Rahmatullah Alayhi. Continue next week. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallama wa bihamdik. Ashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't.